just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right.
God, I'm going to be speaking on being one spirit with the Lord. I want to start off by saying any minister out there teaching that we don't have to continue in the faith to receive what the Lord did for us on the cross, they're speaking in error. You know, I've heard for years scriptures pulled out of context like, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And then they say, you're free. But they left out if you continue in the truth. See, like, look at this, Acts 14:22, International Standard Version. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. We must endure many hardships, they said, to get into the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now look at verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, have made a minister. You know, I heard this minister saying we didn't need to be delivered from the devil's control because Christ took care of that on the cross. That's error. Oh, yeah, he provided the salvation on the cross, but we have to hold fast the gospel and overcome these spirits. See, through the death, burial, and resurrection, the devil was judged and cast out, but you got to stand fast and believe that and fight the good fight of faith. You got to walk this out. See, I could take scriptures and pull them out of context and make you believe the deliverance from the control of evil spirits was all done on the cross. Like, look at Colossians 1:13. Who have delivered, that's past tense, us from the powers of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I say, oh, it's all done. Hallelujah. But I wouldn't be teaching you the whole counsel of God and therefore deceive you. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:24. I'll prove that. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, so there has to be repentance in the believer's life to come out from underneath the control of devils. See, you don't just say, oh, the devil's been judged and cast out. Oh, we've been delivered. Well, here it says we have to be brought to repentance to recover ourselves out of the snare of the devil. Let's read that in the International Standard Version. So that they might escape from the devil's snare, even though they have been held captive by him to do his will. Same scripture, verse 26, New Life Version. Then they will know they have been held in a trap by the devil to do what he wanted them to do, but now they're able to get out of it. See? Repentance enables you to get out of it. Now notice, the devil controls a person according to whatever sin they're still doing. And that outward action of their sin is caused by the sin in them. And as you're brought to repentance, then the sin can be purged out of your heart. Then that spirit loses its hold on you in that area. All right? All right. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So when we're born in this world, we're all under sin. We're under the law. We're under the control of the powers of darkness. So God provides salvation through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have to receive that salvation by faith. See, that's the grace of God that we access by faith. And of course, it starts with us receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, then the Spirit of Christ enters into us. So a divine personality comes into us. And our spirit is joined to His divine spirit, Spirit of Christ. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6:17, the International Standard Verse. But the person who unites himself with the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Now, the definition of united means when two things are closely linked or attached, that they act as though they were one unit. All right? You know, the Father and the Son are two separate beings, yet they act as though they're one. And God is joining us with Him so we can act as one with Him and be in one accord with Him. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:14. We went into that last week. English Standard Version. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that the one who has died for us, that one died for all, therefore all have died. And we know this is, I showed you how this core is saying the same things in Romans 6. We died with Christ. So God draws us to His Son, puts His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son in us, then leads us to put to death the old sinful nature by which the devil controlled us. And then he begins to bring forth the new nature in us. Then the Lord controls us. Okay? We're going from one authority. We're going from one kingdom to another kingdom, being delivered out from the kingdom of darkness and coming into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But you see, Jesus did the work on the cross, but we have to believe it. And we have to walk after His Spirit. We have to be brought to repentance to come out from the kingdom of darkness. And we have to put to death that sin in us, which we can do that as we're brought to repentance. And as God is forming the new nature in us, we're coming under the authority of the Lord, being controlled by His love. Look at Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth, and He saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and He healed their sick. See what caused Jesus to act the way He did? He was controlled by the love of God. He was moved with compassion. Turn to Mark 1:40. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, and saying on Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, we know that Jesus was God in the flesh, but Philippians 2 says He took upon Him the form of a servant, and He was made in the likeness of men, and He lived His life controlled by the love of God. All right, it's important you to see that, because if you just say, oh, well, He was God walking around, well, He laid down His divine authority and power, and he had to believe God, and he had to submit himself to God, and God had to perfect the love of God in him, and God had to put to death the sin in him. Okay, turn to Proverbs 8, verse 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Now, this is Christ the Lord. This is, wisdom talking, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse 15. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now go to verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. Now, this is wisdom speaking. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Then He says, the Lord possessed me, which is the Father. We could say it this way. Verse 22, the Father possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So this is God the Father possessing the Son. Now, the Father and the Son are going to possess us. As we continue in the faith, we are going to be possessed by God's divine personality. This is glorious, folks. Have you ever been around a person who's full of life, has a fun personality, has a lot going for them? You like being around people like that. Well, folks, we can share in the life of God and be infused with his divine personality. This is not a bunch of talk. This is what God's after. You know how I got this message? It came up in my heart last Sunday night about being one spirit with the Lord, and I could discern the Lord was looking at me. And see, this is, I'm telling you, being a partaker of the divine nature, that's what the parable of the sower is all about. That is the mystery of the kingdom of God, which unlocks all the parables. And this is the heart of God. This is what God is after. He wants to make us a partaker of his divine nature. He wants to put to death the old nature. He wants to possess us. He wants to control us by his love. You know, and people are deceived. They say, well, I don't want anyone to control me. Look, man was created to be led around by a spirit. Man doesn't have any power. He's either yielding to God or he's yielding to the devil. You're either going to be a servant of the devil or a servant of God. Take your choice. So I want to be possessed by God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, you are the body of Christ, the members in particular. You know, when I read this about us being the body of Christ, over the years, as I've read this, I thought about that being a title. You know, okay, we're the body of Christ. That's the title of a group of people called Christians. But I never, ever considered us literally being members of Christ's body. Did you? I never considered us being attached to the Lord or joined to the Lord, but we are. I didn't think of us as he was the head and we were different members like the hand or the foot or and he controlled our movements. But that's what it's teaching, folks. Let's read let's go back to verse 12 and read the New International Version. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so is it with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink. Now, this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not water baptism. And this is in the context of the gifts of the Spirit. So to become part of the body of Christ, you have to be filled with the Spirit. Okay. Let's see, go to verse 18. But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. So we're all set in the body and we're controlled by the head of the body, which is Christ. All right. This is what God is. This is the mystery of Christ. This is God all working this out to bring us to this place, to set us in the body and be filled with the Spirit. Okay. Turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 16, International Standard Version. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thank God that though you were once slaves of sin, ye became obedient from your hearts to that form of teaching which you were entrusted. Okay? Slaves to righteousness. And we became obedient from our hearts to that form of God's teachings which we were entrusted. Let's read verse 17 again in the King James. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. Now, what is the form of doctrine which delivered us, which was delivered to us that set us free? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach, and which ye also receive, wherein ye stand, by which you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now, this is the doctrine that was delivered to us. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Holding fast to that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, sets you free from your sins. But notice, we have to obey that doctrine from the heart. Faith is of the heart. Okay? Turn to Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be set free. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on salvation. See, now, don't be discouraged if you've endeavored to believe the gospel and you're still bound in one area in your life or another. All right? Just stay with it. Stay with it. Mark, turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 14. And after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So Jesus comes on the scene and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was preaching, showing forth the power of God, healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people and casting out devils. Now look what it says. But anyway, let me take a step back here. You know, these people that teach this sensationalism, they say this all ceased. Well, Jesus came in to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, healing all manner of sickness. Look what it's, you know what it says in Matthew 24, talking about during the tribulation, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. It was the same one that Jesus preached, healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. I'm telling you, my eyes are getting opened up more and more. These people that preach against healing, that ceased. The power of God ceased. God no longer does this. You won't enter into the kingdom of God. And those that try to enter in, you try to stop them. God have mercy on you people that are preaching this. I know there's ministers out there that have tried to merchandise the gospel. I know there are people that have got some of their behaviors radical, and it's, I don't believe every spirit that's in the charismatics is of God. And I won't get in trouble for that. I just don't cross the line. God said, don't believe every spirit. So I don't. And it also says there's a false anointing. I just know not to address whatever they're doing. Just leave them alone. That way I don't get in trouble. I do know for one thing for sure, and this keeps me out of trouble too, is if they're cast out devils, that is definitely by the Holy Spirit. And so I won't blaspheme the Spirit by coming against that. But there's some behavior that I've seen in some of these churches that I think is the wrong anointing. And anyway, but that's not an excuse to say that the power of God's passed away just because some people act weird. All right. It hadn't passed away. And Jesus didn't act like that. But this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached all the way to the end. All right. So anyway, so verse 15, Mark 1, saying the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Change your mind to what you were trusting and put your trust in the gospel. See, you don't need to focus on repenting of all these different sins. Focus on repenting of not trusting the gospel. You need to acknowledge your different sins, but that won't set you free from them. The gospel will. All right? Let's go ahead and put a song in here. Let's do I Shall Not Be Moved by Pamela Pontia.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not. just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I'm on my way to heaven. I shall not be moved. On my way to heaven, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved.
Now, one of the problems I've seen in the body of Christ is ministers trying to lead people to repentance with a worldly sorrow. You know, hate yourself, feel guilty. You know, feel guilty for your sins, shame on you. But that just works death, all right? That's a worldly sorrow. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:9. I'm going to read the International Standard Verse. Now I am happy, not because you had such sorrow, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you were sorry in a godly way. And so you were not hurt by us in any way. For having sorrow in a godly way results in repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Okay, so there are ministers out there ministering a godly sorrow, and there are ministers ministering out a worldly sorrow. And the worldly sorrow produces death. Okay, verse 11. See what great earnestness godly sorrow has produced in you. How ready you are to clear yourselves. How indignant, how alarmed, how full of longing and enthusiasm, how eager to seek justice. In every way, you have demonstrated that you are innocent in this matter. See, people, when God starts giving you godly sorrow, you like to get everything right. Okay, have you ever heard people talk about something they did, you know, years ago, and they still feel guilty about it? Well, that's worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow produces repentance, salvation. And once you're saved from it, your conscience is purged. You don't think about it anymore. All right? Okay, back to Romans 6. The gospel, and we saw how that form of doctrine sets you free. And that was the gospel, sets you free from sin. Now go to verse 18. And since you've been freed from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness, being a slave by the divine nature of God. Folks, that's where we're heading. We're going to be enslaved by the divine nature of God. We're going to be moved by compassion. We're going to be walking in one accord with the Lord. Jesus is the head of the body. And when he wants to do something, we're going to automatically move. Okay, Galatians 1:20, Amplified Bible. But I've been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith, adhering to, relying on, completely trusting the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, once again, you can read that scripture like it was all done. But you have to be crucified with Christ. You have to be baptized in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ through water baptism. You have to believe that. You have to reckon the old man dead. You have to keep putting him off. You have to be delivered unto death. See, and as you are walking this out in your life, as you are being crucified with Christ, then Christ is living through you. See, there's a lot of Christians out there, they've received the Spirit of Christ in them. They've received the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit of Christ has come into them, but he doesn't live through them because they walk in the flesh. Okay? Because that their desires and their ways have not been crucified. Okay? So you have to be crucified with Christ. As the gospel gets in your heart and you believe it and you're being set free from your sins, Christ will live through you. Then you live by his faith. This is where your spirit is joined to the Lord and he begins more and more to control you. Then you're being possessed by his divine personality. This is glorious, folks. This ought to motivate us to read the word. This ought to motivate us to lay down our own ways. All right? Luke 21:19. Let's look at this. In your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, continuance, you take possession over your own soul. And as you do, Christ lives through you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Okay, sanctification is being set apart for God's use, for him to use us. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, see, set apart, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Let's read that in the International Standard Version. Therefore, if any man stops associating with these people, he will become a special utensil set apart for the owner's use, prepared unto every good action. Look at Jeremiah 15:19. Thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. See, put off the old man, put to death the old man, you become as his mouth. And you become filled with the spirit, you become set in the body, and then you're moving in one accord with the Lord. This is a glorious truth, to be members of his body, to be attached to him and move as he moves. All right? Okay, so if thou take the precious from the vial, then thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Okay, Acts 17:28. For in him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. We live, we move and have our being. As certain also of his own prophets have said, for we are his offspring. See, this is going to come to pass. John 17:1. For these words spake Jesus, and lift up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, thou hast come, glorify thy Son, the Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, as many as thou hast given him. See, this is a very powerful statement here. The Son has power over all flesh. Now skip down to verse 11, and we'll see the Lord is praying to God the Father for him to keep us or to uphold us. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be as one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. So we read in John 17, in the 17th chapter, the Lord has given us eternal life, and he intercedes to God the Father to keep us. Okay. Now in John 15, it says, if we don't abide in Christ, men will gather us and cast us into the fire. And of course, it's evil spirit operating through them doing it. See, one of the mistakes I've seen people make is they hold to one scripture and not another. Like last week, we looked at making your calling election sure. And some will see these scriptures about God upholding us, and they're lazy and they like scriptures that minister to them according to their own heart, because they don't want to do anything, and they say, oh, God's got me. God, you know, I don't need to make any effort to be secure. And I believe the reason the Word of God says make your call and election sure is you could have an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. So as you're getting all that unbelief out of you and all the wicked ways so you won't ever turn against God, God will uphold you. See, so you need to believe and you need to trust God. Okay, John 17, go down to verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the truth. And I pray, and neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. So that's for us today who believe, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they also be made one in us. See, we're being attached to the Lord, one spirit with the Lord. And then we also become members of his body, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Okay, verse 23 says, Christ in us, and the Father in Christ, that we might be perfect in one. Do you hear what this is saying? We're being made one with God. And no, we're never going to be God, but rather members of his body. And the joy he has, we have. And the faith, the full assurance of faith he has, we have. The love he has, we have. See, we're being infused with the divine personality. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. See, as we continue in the faith, walking in Christ, there will be a growing security becoming established in the faith. Let me check for time here. Yeah, we're doing good. I'll go a little further. Okay, John 15. See, now, put the word of God in your heart about how God is going to uphold you and how no man can pluck you out of God's hand. And God upholds his servants, but you notice it says his servants. Now let's look about us making effort to abide in the vine. John 15, 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. And it clearly tells us how to abide in you. Put the word in your heart and then practice the word. It's that simple. Then you're abiding in Christ and he'll abide in you and then you can bear fruit. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And if fruit is not coming forth in your life, then find out where you're missing it. God's not missing it. We got to go back and look at the word of God and say, show me, Lord. A person, now let me say this, a person who just practices righteousness but doesn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, at best, all they're going to do is clean up the outside of the cup. See, this is people in the world that they'll try to copy Christians and they'll try to just be righteous, but they won't come to the Lord. And you know, they clean up the outside of the cup. They straighten out their outward behavior, but they're not going to be joined to the Lord and they're not going to bear the fruit of the Spirit and they will not get rid of the sin in them. See, they cannot save themselves. They can't get the sin out of them. And these are self-righteous people who will not come to the Lord and be justified by faith. Now, we as believers are transformed not only by our faith, but we keep our faith working by practicing the love of God, by keeping the words of God. So I want to say to all of you out there, if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be transformed. You will never be righteous. You'll just be self-righteous. And that sin in you will stay there. You won't be set free from it. And so you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you need to walk in him. Quit resisting the Lord. Quit thinking you can be righteous without the Lord. No, you can't. All you can do is be self-righteous. And the law of Moses put in your heart to show you your sin and to make you feel guilty and to make you sin, become exceedingly sinful. And you'll keep on tripping up. You'll keep messing up. Until you finally say, I can't do this, and you'll go to the Lord. And those of you that receive the Lord and you say, well, I feel like I'm still there. It's because you hadn't been delivered from the law. And it takes time for the Word of God to get in your heart and you get a revelation of it and to believe it and get set free. Some of these bondages are hard to break forth. You know, it says if the righteous scarcely be saved. Now, this word scarcely means hardly or with difficulty. And this righteous are people that have received the Lord. It didn't say if the self-righteous scarcely be saved. It says the righteous. So you got to take the Bible's definition. That's what it's talking about here. The righteous scarcely be saved. It's hard. It's difficult for them to work out their salvation. Not to work for their salvation, to work it out, to go into completion. All right? So you have to labor to believe. You have to put the Word of God in your heart. You have to make effort to abide in Christ. You have to learn to pray and put forth strong prayers to overcome these bondages. Jesus did everything on the cross, but it says through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. And I'm talking to myself because I'm just like you. We all have a tendency to want everything to be easy. Well, it's not easy. All right. It takes fervent praying. It takes dedication. It takes laboring to believe this gospel to break through. And, it says the kingdom, the powers of darkness, they want to shut up the kingdom. And you have to pray through these spirits. So I think that's all I've got for this podcast. For those of you that are still resisting the Lord, you might as well give up and just turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll receive Christ, the Spirit of Christ will enter into you, and God will convince you that He died, that Jesus Christ died for you, that He was buried, that He rose from the dead. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And you get in faith, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you get in faith and use your faith. And this Bible, God will give you proof that this Bible is true. God will move in your life. God will reveal Himself to you as you get in faith. All right? Grace of God will manifest in your life. You get in faith. You can know the words of God are true. But right now, just receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I receive you right now as my Lord and my Savior. I just receive you, Jesus. I just give thanks for you, Lord. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you've said that prayer, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you. You're ready to start walking with the Lord. So I encourage you, tune back into my podcast and God will just keep taking you down the road. Keep growing you up. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.